us Haran, Os Lamed Ches. David Melech said in Tehillim, Shatu Vashamayim Pihem, Ulishonam Tihalach Ba'aretz. Shatu Vashamayim Pihem, they implant, they couch, they create as their foundation the foundation of their mouths, the place where they implant their mouths, is Bashamayim. Their mouths are truly in the heavens. And yet their tongue traverses the earth. It travels the earth. What exactly is David HaMelech talking about? A person whose mouth is really pointed towards Shamayim, and yet his tongue is expressing itself down below. That could be a very positive thing, it could be a very negative thing. Unfortunately, Rabbi Nachman tells us sometimes it's a very negative thing. Ki achshav nispashet afikursus, shohutra ritzua ledabra sara al kol atzadikim al kol yirei Hashem. The Apikorsis that we spoke about yesterday, we've been speaking about the last couple of days, that's becoming more and more abundant at the end of time. The burdensome Apikorsis that we spoke about yesterday. And we explained yesterday that Apikorsis, the way it was used in the Rashi that we saw yesterday, in Dvarim, in Perak Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, means a disrespect for the Tzadikim, for the Tzadik Hador, for Moshe Rabbeinu. So now that the Apikorsis has spread, says Rabbi Nachman, Hutra Ritzua, so to speak, the rope has been untied. Whatever was off limits is now accessible. And anything goes. Ledaber sara kol tzadikim al kol yirei Hashem. People say whatever they want about tzadikim nowadays. There's no recognition of a hierarchy of power. People say what they want. You can speak out against tzadikim, and you can speak out against yirei Hashem. V'hu kamo misha poshet lishono neged kol ha'olam, she'enu mashkiach al kol ha'olam. It's like a person who feels that he could say whatever he wants about the world. She'enu mashkiach kol olam, because he thinks nothing of the world. He doesn't feel that he owes anything to the world. Now notice that he switched. We're going to talk about this. Rabbeinu seemed to switch from people who speak against tzaddikim and God-fearing individuals to a person who speaks against the world. Obviously the world contains its inhabitants, but I also want to talk a little bit about people who speak against the world and make the world into a bad guy. So let's say if it's the same thing. Uve'emes, but the truth is, whether you're speaking against Hashem's world, or whether you're speaking against tzaddikim, or you're speaking against yirei Hashem, people who are not necessarily a tzaddik, but a person who's a God-fearing individual, a person who speaks out against the world, or a Kadosh Baruch Hu's people, or tzaddikim, uve'emes, says Rabbi Nachman, who are you really speaking against? You're hiding your language by complaining against tzaddikim and complaining against Yirei Hashem and criticizing the world, both again the inhabitants of the world and the physical world itself. But Lamaisa, who do you really have a taina against? You've got an issue with God. You have a problem with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Uve'emezah apikorsis who neged Hashem Yisbarach ba'atzmo. The person is really wants to speak out against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But because they're too afraid to say it straight to Hashem, no, I guess Rabbi Nachman never could have imagined that we'd live in a world where people would say it straight against Hashem. I guess, right? I mean, Rabbi Nachman said, no one's going to go so far as to openly speak out against Hashem. You'll hide behind other things that are expressions of Hashem and blame it on those things, not to attack Hashem directly. And yet, I think we live in a world today where people attack Hashem directly. Right? They're confronting God head on. They're not just saying, "Oh, religious people," right? They've got an issue with the idea of God. They attack the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
And I think that rooted even behind that is like a disappointment in themselves, like somebody like not happy where they are, like they take it out on.
For sure.
There's
a Rashi in Devarim like that.
Yeah.
That you're reflecting, right? You reflect kind of what's going on inside of yourself, and you blame it on someone. But for sure, that's true. Kol apostle b'mum apostle. Anyone who apostles someone else, right, is really apostling himself. If you're seeing bad by other people, that means you have a kesher to that negative trait. The famous Maisa with the Baal Shem Tov, Rav Wolfson brings it in Emunas Yitecha Parshas Naso. The Baal Shem Tov once saw someone be Mechal Shabbos. So Baal Shem Tov said, they say B'Shem the Baal Shem Tov, that anything you see is a message. Yes, the Baal Shem Tov saw someone be Mechal Shabbos. So he said, that must mean I have Chil Shabbos. I have Chil Shabbos. Baal Shem Tov sat down, made a cheshbon and nefesh. I don't have Chil Shabbos. And then he said, Chil Shabbos. Of course I do. He said, everything operates in Olam Shana and nefesh. He said, I wasn't Mechal Shabbos in time, but I was Mechal Shabbos in a person. Because I saw the other week, a young Talmud Chacham, Sur Mei Rabbanan, a person who deserves Kavod HaTorah. Someone was speaking in a way that wasn't as respectful as they should have. And I didn't stand up to defend the Talmud Chacham. And the Talmud Chacham is the physical, the human embodiment. He is in Nefesh, what Shabbos is in time. And I didn't come to defend Shabbos, like Rashbi says about himself in the Zohar Kaddish. Rashbi's compared to Shabbos. So I didn't defend Shabbos. And therefore that was my Chil Shabbos, says the Baal Shem Tov. That's why he saw Chil Shabbos. Right? He saw Chil Shabbos because he had Chil Shabbos. He saw someone be actually Mechal Shabbos. He said, "What is that? Why would I see such a thing? I'm not Shaychus to that. I do have a Shaychus to that." So if anything negative that you see, it's because you have a Shaychus to it. So a person who is blaspheming the world and speaking out against Tzaddikim, of course, it's all their internal brokenness that they're just reflecting like a mirror off of someone else. You know what the Baal Shem Tov did to be Metakin is Chil Shabbos. Rav Wolfson says he went immediately after Shabbos, he traveled to the Pnei Yoshua, and he lit his pipe for him. Mechabit a chashav erav. So he went and lit the pipe of the Pnei Yoshua for him. Okay. But again, when a person is speaking against the world, they're really speaking against Hashem, says Rabbi Nachman. And that's the pshat, that's what David HaMelech was saying in the Pasuk. Shatu v'ashamayim piyam. Right? Where is their mouth really planted? Who are they really speaking against? They're really speaking against Shemayim. They're really blaspheming HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheve'emes ma'ashem edabrim b'fiyem hu'be'emes l'mala b'shamayim. Really what they're saying is against Hashem. Ki igur divrayim neged Hashem yisparach kiviyachol. K'nizkar le'el. What they're really saying is against Hashem. Again, they may not openly criticize Hashem. But David HaMelech says, really, we know what you're saying. You're blaming it on the world, you're blaming it on the tzaddikim, but l'maisa, you're speaking out against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ach lishonam ti'alach ba'aretz. David HaMelech says, it's true. The tongue is expressing itself on the land, in the world down below. But really, the peh, right, the peh, which is the essence of the Koach HaDibur, more so than the lashon than the tongue, the peh is what? Shatu v'ashamayim piyam. Really, you're after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shemachmas sheboshim ledaber v'fiyam negdo yisbarach, alkein leshonam tialach ba'aretz. Because they're too scared to confront Hashem head on, so they speak badly about Hashem in a roundabout way. And therefore, poshim leshonam neged ha'olam kanizkar le'el. Aval be'emes shatu v'ashamayim piyam kanizkar le'el.
Rabbi, how do you know who's a tzaddik?
How do you know that?
How do you know he's a tzaddik? I'm supposed to be quiet. I don't know he's a tzaddik.
Good. Yishai Navi said, everyone's a tzaddik, so don't speak. Yeah?
The Chofetz Chaim, it wasn't the opposite though, that everyone knew how big a tzaddik Chofetz Chaim was, but not as how big Talmud Chacham.
Right. Okay, how are Magdir a tzaddik Talmud Chacham? Okay. Yeah, that's what they say. They say people recognize, certain people were known for their chachma, even though they were tremendous tzaddikim in their avoda. And they were more nister in their avoda as a tzaddik, but their Torah was well known. And vice versa, there were some people who were known for their tzidkus and not necessarily recognized as the most outstanding talmidei chachamim. But lamaisa, so they were both. So yeah, it's hard for us to judge. Okay, let's look at the Be'er Mayim Chaim. I hope everyone has a copy. There's more than enough that went around, so if you don't have one, find one. The Be'er Mayim Chaim in Parshas Bahar. And the Be'er Mayim Chaim shows us how a person who speaks against tzaddikim comes to speak against the Kaddish Baruch. Okay, what's he commenting on? How did this end up in Parshas Behar? In Parshas Behar in Perek Chaf Hei, I'll read you the Pesukim. In Parshas Behar Perek Chaf Hei, the Pasuk says, in describing Shemitah, which we referenced in this past week's Parsha, the Pasuk says, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf, in Parshas Behar, V'chisomru manu chal bashana hashviyis. If a person will speak out and say, whoa, this isn't going to work, how are we going to abandon our fields and survive? If a person will say, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? Manu chal bashana hashviyis. Hain, behold, lo nizra v'lo nesaf es tuaseinu. We will not sow and not gather in our crops. So what's the plan here, God? So what does the Kodesh Baruch say back in Pasuk Chaf Aleph? V'tzivisi es birchasi lachem bashana hashishis. Hashem says, there's nothing to worry about. I'll give you an exorbitant amount of bracha in the sixth year. And that will last for a three-year period. The sixth year, the seventh year, the eighth year, you're going to be taken care of. But again, this pasuk could be read as just a simple inquiry. Hashem, we're just curious how this is going to work. Or it could be a person questioning a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Taking Kadosh Baruch Hu to death. This is a bad plan. Your Shemitah plan is a bad plan, God. So says the Be'er Mayim Chaim, in describing and discussing these psukim, he writes on, everyone has a copy, yeah? Anyone out of a copy? We have enough. They're here. Okay, he says over here in Parshas Behar, Uvezeh Yesh Musar. You see the paragraph that begins, Uvezeh Yesh Musar? Uvezeh Yesh Musar Haskel El Eilu HaChachamim Be'ineyem. Let this be a word to the wise, for people who think that they're outstanding scholars. V'dovrim al tzadik asak begaiva vavuz. And they speak out against established tzadikim, right? Tzadikim who are aged and wise. And these young whippersnappers who think they know everything all of a sudden start to become critical of the tzadik. Imroam eiza davar betzadik yisod olam etzadike doram uzmanam shenir alehem la'ovel. They see something by a tzaddik that they don't understand. Ayin lekutim moran tinyana, the second part, nun beis. Rabbi Nachman says, why is it that some people ask questions on tzaddikim, and some people ask questions on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's all very good. Why is it good? Because when you ask a question on a tzaddik, you're saying, a tzaddik is such a tzaddik, I don't understand him. His madrega is so lofty, so nistar, that I, with my puny intellect and puny neshama, can't understand the ways of the tzaddik. Same thing. I ask a question on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I'm really saying, if I ask it respectfully and properly, I'm saying, Hashem, I don't understand your ways, nor do I expect to understand your ways. You're much bigger than me. There's no reason I should have a havamina that I should be able to understand your ways. You're God, creator of the universe, and I'm a baser v'dam. So when a person asks a question on Hashem, it could actually be a great kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As long as I know my question is not an answer. Some people ask a question, and therefore, because I have a question, therefore you don't exist. Because I have a question, therefore you're not just. You're a God who lacks in his midah of justice, of honesty, of integrity. I can question a Kadosh Baruch on anything. So yes, there is a place to ask questions on tzaddikim if we ask it with humility. But here we're talking about a person, a balgaivo who sees a tzaddik doing something a little strange, and he says, oh, what, that tzaddik, what a weird guy. What a strange person. People say he's a tzaddik. He's not a tzaddik. He's just a weird individual. And they start to say, oh, this silly old man, this silly tzaddik, he thinks he's doing big things. He doesn't know what he's doing. And this person speaks leitzanis and lashon hara. Uledaber alav b'sharbas. Rabin b'divrei hitul. And he speaks out publicly against the person in a slanderous fashion. Now look what he says, where it's underlined. Va'afilu b'chsheire Yisrael nimsa lif'amim mido gruazu. Sometimes very nice, fine people get caught up in this, where you start to become critical of tzaddikim. Shu'uchachem be'enav. A person thinks, well, not only did I go shana af, I went shana bet, so I must be a real chacham by now. U'mevin v'omid al daito. I'm starting to understand things. I'm familiar with some of the Lashonos and the Svarim. I finished my first Masechta. I'm a big Gavra now. I'm a Gavra Rabba, yeah? Shekasher nira lo shelo tov aderach atzadik hazeh. As soon as the person decides, the tzaddik is acting in a way that I don't understand. Yemali piu mirma b'lashon medaberes gedolos, paraphrasing the lashon in Tehillim. He fills his mouth with all sorts of haughty speech. L'daber alav dvar masher lo kein. And he says things about the tzaddik that are simply not true. Ve'eno nosin alibo lomar ulai hashagas seichel v'chochmas hatzaddik hazeh gedolei mechachmaso v'seichlo. Hasagas. Perhaps the hasaga, the understanding of the tzaddik, is greater than me. Why doesn't he entertain that possibility? Why does he assume that he's in the right and the tzaddik is a silly and strange individual? Why doesn't he take to heart the possibility, at least an ulai, right? A possibility, a suffix. Maybe the tzaddik knows something that I don't know, and maybe that's the answer to his unusual avoda. Who maybe knows from men, who maybe he knows more than we do. Maybe he knows this is in fact an authentic way to serve Hashem. Not in accordance with his understanding. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in our Masechta, Daf Kof Yud, towards the end of our Masechta, Kola Mahar Her Achrei Rabbo, a person who thinks negatively about his Rabbi. He's critical of a Rav. Ki'ilu mahar achrei ashchina. It's as if he's going after a Kodesh Baruch. That's exactly what Rabbi Nachman's saying. That the person who starts to question the tzaddikim, who's attacking the tzaddikim, he's not, yes, it's true, l'shonam tahalich ba'aretz. But really, his pez in Shemayim. He's speaking against Hashem. U'lechora eich dimu chachmeinu basar v'dam elokeinu baruchu. So says the Bermayim Chaim, I don't even understand this Gemara. We're going to compare a person who questions a human being of flesh and blood to one who questions Hashem? What's the comparison? How can you say that a mahar achar zek, ilu achar zek? You question a human being, he may be a great human being, but he's still a human being. And yet you're saying the Gemara has such a lashon that a mahar achar rabo, as if you're mahar achar the shechina. V'amnam be'emes hakol echad. Ki miyad sha'odam omid al daito v'chachmaso v'sover sha'ein seichal achar mibil ado. What happens is, as soon as a person thinks, again, he starts to get a little bit of wisdom. All of a sudden, he starts to think, I'm the only one in the world. That's kfira. The same midah that brings you to question the tzaddik is the same midah that brings you to question Hashem. Well, if I don't understand it, then it must not make sense. If I can't rationally prove God, then God must not exist. Because I can't understand it. I'm a great scientist. Right? Like one of the great astronauts, one of the great Russian astronauts, went up to space and said, well, I don't see God here, so I guess he doesn't exist. I've completed my study. Not only did I search down below, I searched the heavens, I don't see God. And now it's conclusive that God doesn't exist. What a fool. If we even begin to understand what we do understand about the galaxy, about the infinite nature of our world. And you think, well, because you took a rocket ship to outer space, and you didn't see God sitting on the moon, in the way that you understood God to be, so therefore God doesn't exist. So the same midah that says, I'm the only thing that exists, and I don't trust the tzaddik, can very, very quickly become, I'm the only thing that exists, and I don't believe in God, and I don't trust God, and I question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shemiyad, right after where it's underlined in the right column. Shemiyad kasher yidme lo shezein onachon lefi koach zichlo. As soon as it doesn't make sense to me, lo yomar ki chachmas elokim gedolim echachmaso. I don't immediately go into, well, that's Hashem's infinite wisdom. I immediately go into, but I want it to be a certain way. I don't like this halacha. I don't understand. I don't understand why Hashem wants this. That's nice. You don't understand, and therefore what? Therefore you think it's wrong. Therefore, Hashem's Torah has to be judged by the ethics and morals of 2016. That God forbid, he immediately starts to think he knows more than Hashem. Valkein, therefore, Chazal say the Rambam brings it b'sof hilchos tumas saras v'zeh l'shono v'zehu derech yeshivas haleitzim harishayim b'tchila marvim medivrei avai. It starts off. Right, we're just joking. We're just making jokes about God. We're just sitting around schmoozing, cracking some jokes, poking fun at tzaddikim. Yeah, no, but we know they're still tzaddikim. We know they're still tzaddikim. We know that Hashem still exists. Just it's hard to understand them, so we make fun of it. Sometimes we make fun of the system. Sometimes Ke'inyan shenamar v'kol k'sil berov devarim. But says the Rambam, what happens next? And then, after just cracking some jokes, then we start to poke fun of tzaddikim. Ke'inyan shenamar v'hayu mal'ivim v'chulu. And we climb the chain of Leitzanus from just cracking jokes about the world to cracking jokes about Tzaddikim to cracking jokes about Hashem to becoming Kofer Beikar. And he brings Pesukim, the Rambam brings Pesukim to prove his point. Go to the last paragraph. One of the ways that a person acquires Torah is through emunas chacham. Not yiddias chacham, emunas chacham. Person has to trust the chacham. Oh, well, that's convenient. The rabbis wrote that so that they can empower themselves. Okay, so if you're asking that question, that's a lack of emunas chacham. I don't know. For some reason, a lot of people are under the impression that the rabbis are like this cult, that they're out to like make people's lives miserable. That they're out to get people. I don't know. The rabbis I look up to seem to be very, very, very fine, nice, good people who are understanding and sensitive, trying to make life better. So I find it hard to believe, right, that the earlier generations of rabbis were just trying to, you know, impose their will upon the world. And that they're not actually trying to defend God's Torah, they're just trying to empower themselves. Because rabbis, you know, rabbis are just so rich, making a killing off their living. Yeah? So says Pirkei Avos, says the sixth parak, parak Kinyan Torah. One of the 48 ways to acquire Torah is emunas chachamim. You have to believe in the chacham. What does it mean? Klomar, she'etzrichin lahamin b'chachma Yisrael. Afilim roon ben davar shenira shelo keinu lefi sichleinu. Emunah means that I hang on when it doesn't make sense to me. When I see a tzaddik doing something that's unusual, and I don't fully get it, that's okay. That's why he's a tzaddik. And you're not yet a tzaddik. The same way that the Chumash says, people are going to say, Hashem, your Shemitah plan, bad idea. It's not going to work. Let's not forget the context or how we came to this idea. That if it doesn't make sense according to your Seichel, so you know what you do then? You have emunah. You have a little bit of faith. If the person is a true tzaddik, then that's it. I don't have to understand everything that he does. I don't have to understand every decision that he makes. It's the very nature of his lofty level, which is greater than our own. We don't understand the behavior that he does. Just jump down to the last couple of underlines, and I'll take your comments. To have a moon on the chacham. And that's a kinyan in Torah. There's a letter from the Chazon Ish, in the collected letters of the Chazon Ish, where the Chazon Ish was clearly asked by someone, how do you work on emunas chachamim? How does one come to emunas chachamim? You know what he answered? He says, you believe in the chacham if you believe in the chachma. What does that mean? That means if I can believe that Hashem's mitzvos are absolute and true, and even when they seem wacky at times, but I'm confident that Hashem knows what He's doing, so then the second step of that, the other side of that coin, so to speak, is I believe in the Chachamim, who are the ones who come to uphold the Torah. But if I question the Chachamim, then I'm really questioning the Torah. And if I'm questioning the Torah, kuchabrichu yisol v'arayis achadu, I'm questioning God. Okay, Jared, what do you want to say?
Like, there's different chachamim who make different decisions.
Like, right, and elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim.
They can contradict each other. So, like, if you say, oh, I don't believe, like I'm going to go with this chacham, like, is that...
Yeah, a person has to have a Rebbe. But again, even if I'm attached to a particular Rebbe, that doesn't mean it's an amazing line. We mentioned Rav Moshe Wolfson before. He writes in his Amunah Sitecha, I think it's in Parshas Vayikra, he brings from the Apter Rav. Anyone who said, listen to what he says, it's such a strong line. I'm pretty sure it's in Vayikra. Anyone who says that my Rebbe and my Mahalach is the only true Mahalach is apikorsis. That's what he says. Jews don't believe that. We don't believe there's only one Mahalach. So yeah, you have your tzaddik, you have your chacham, you have your Rebbe. But that doesn't mean that if you see something different by a different way, oh, that's... Now again, are there people who are... This is where... line becomes very, you know, fine. Are there people who go in the lavush of a tzaddik, of a, you know, who are in fact not good. Yes, we don't have to be idiots. The Torah doesn't want us to be idiots. At the same time, a person whose reputation is such that he's a tzaddik, and he does something that's unusual, or he makes a decision that I don't fully understand, and I may not even align with, I may align with the tzaddik who has a different opinion, but I still have to say, Eilu ve'eilu devei Elokim chayim. And that other tzaddik, that other chacham has a right to his mahalach, and I have to be respectful of that, despite not necessarily aligning myself fully with the mahalach. Let me tell you one of the most important gemaras in Shas. There's a gemara in Chagiga. Anyone have a gemara Chagiga in here? I wasn't planning on saying it. Is a gemara Chagiga in the room? By any chance? That's okay, you don't have to get it. It's fine. I'd rather you hear. The Gemara Chagiga says the following. The Gemara Chagiga says, there are some rabbis who say Tameh, there are some rabbis who say Tahar. There are some rabbis who say Asr, there are some rabbis who say Mutter. Right? Essentially what the Gemara is saying is, once you start getting out into the world, whether it's in Psak Halacha or in different Hashkafas in Torah, there's the very real possibility, the Gemara says, that you'll become so overwhelmed by the range of ideas and opinions that are out there, that a person will say, the Lashon of the Gemara, it's Chagiga Daf Gimel, that a person will say, how can I learn Torah like this? How can I learn Torah like this? How am I supposed to figure out what to do? I mean, a kotza la kotza, the opinions are from one end of the world to the other end of the world. So what am I supposed to do? So the Gemara says, remind yourself that what? That they were all given by one roe, by one shepherd, namely through Moshe Rabbeinu, and it comes from one God. And Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. And then the Gemara says, make your ear like a funnel to hear all the different opinions. And to figure out why Hashem created dafka you as a yachid in the world, to figure out your individual tafkid and tachas in this world. But don't be overwhelmed by the range of opinions. It's good, it's very healthy. Tolna Rebbe has a maimer in his Hemei Nachamuni on the importance of riboy deos. Don't become to bilbul hadas because I'm trying to take a little of everything. That can be dangerous. And in Slonim Svarim, they give a mashal. A person walks into a pharmacy. He's not feeling well. He says, I'll take one of everything. Yeah, they'll say, what do you mean one of everything? So I'm sick. I don't know exactly what I'm sick with. So give me a little of everything. And I'm sure one of these medicines will work. So that's the danger of having an ear that's, you know, too open. Schatayini maskirayot. You know? To be into everything. You can end up being into nothing if you're into everything. Okay, but the Gemara says, make your ear like a funnel. Try to hear the different opinions. Remind yourself, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. And then find your Rebbe, find your Tzaddik, find your Mahalach. But again, that doesn't mean that I passel the other Mahalachim. I'll tell you just one other Vart. There's a beautiful Vart that a Yid in Muncie once told me, from the Papa Ruf. This is Mamash, a golden Vart. By Kriyas Yamsur. Yeah? It says in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that the Yam split into different paths. Right? You've heard this idea. Each Sheva walked in its own path. Sama Rebbe brings from Medrash Yerushalayim that there were 600,000 paths. Every Jew walked his own path. It's also a very chashuv idea. But every let's say every Sheva walked in their own path. Okay, every Sheva has its own mahalach. Every group has their own way. But if you look in the Lashon of the Medrash says in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, which is a pretty early Midrashic source, it says that they were separated by walls of water, yeah, but they were see-through. The walls were transparent. You could see from one lane into your neighbor's lane. So says the Papara, Mimanav Shach, I don't understand. If we're going to walk together, so don't put up walls. And if we're going to walk separate, so then put up real walls. Why would you put up walls that I could dafka see into my neighbor's lane? The Papara says, because that's what Hashem wants from us. Yes, I have my mahalach, I have my lane, I have my derech, but that doesn't mean I put up walls and I don't look to see what other people are doing. I want to learn from other people. I want to learn from different groups. I want to try to incorporate the parts of the hashkafa that fit with, you know, with my derech achai. I don't put up blinders and say, you know, I walk such a narrow path that I can't look at anything else. And again, I think that's part of what the Ber Mayim Chaim is saying here. You could have ksheira yisrael. He says kosher yidin. A kosher yid means I attach to this tzaddik, but I passel another tzaddik. Okay, so you got to watch out for that. Because once I start passeling, you know, different tzaddikim were expressions of Hashem, and I passel Hashem's world, then I passel Hashem. I give up on a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yeah.
You don't want to say bad, anything bad, or think anything bad about a tzaddik or Talmid Chacham, but like, what's the line there? There have been Talmid Chacham, known as Tzaddikim who have done Averus.
Right.
And and if there have been consequences or not.
Yeah.
So like, what's that line? Like,
listen, if a person is, you know, people say we don't vote on tzaddikim. We don't vote on Gedolei Yisrael. You know what I'm saying? Like, Moshe Feinstein didn't win, like, the vote to be Gadol Hador. He just was the Gadol Hador. No one questioned that reality. Right? That just... So, yeah, a tzaddik who has a reputation as being a tzaddik, so we treat him like a tzaddik. If we find out that in the end, Rahman al-Litzlan is involved in some terrible scandal, okay, so he's obviously not such a tzaddik anymore, and he's lost his ne'amanus as a tzaddik. Yeah, but until we know otherwise, if his reputation is that of a tzaddik, and there's things he does that are still strange to us, but people who can be trusted say that he's a tzaddik, even though, again, there's decisions he makes that we don't fully understand. So then that's where we have emunah in tzaddikim. That's one of the kinyanei Torah. But yeah, no, we don't have to be fools. You know, if a person, we don't have to say after the fact, once the tzaddik is sitting in jail, right? Not like the Baal Tanya or the Rebbe Rayatz or Bechulu went to jail for teaching Torah, but someone who goes to jail for Rachman Al-San, a sex scandal, I don't think we have to be idiots and say, well, no, he had deep kavanas, and okay, maybe we'll leave it for, at the end of the day, Pinchas killed Cosby and Zimri, even though the Sfarim have a lot of limits chus on Zimri, and there were big tikkunim taking place, but, Madrigos, yesh. There's levels of, how at what point Emunah Chacham just becomes being a fool. Yeah.
I think the Zmanazeh, especially the concept of the rub, is very, very hard for teenagers and people like us, honestly, because I feel like we grew up with this concept of rabbis. This is what a rabbi is. But I mean, you've seen like the different forms of like religion. There's conservative. There's reform. There's different leaders, and like it's very hard for I think teenagers and like kids all around.
Right, to what? To identify a Rebbe?
What's the purpose of the Rebbe?
You're saying if at the end of the day this one says Mutter, this one says us, sir, so...
Even the more so if this Rebbe's like just like hanging out with kids all day in high school, that's what a rabbi is, and that's what Judaism becomes. Then you have to, until you see otherwise, then that's the reality that you live. So it's very hard for a kid to take...
But why is that bad?
Because that's not what a Rebbe, like a Rebbe.
You're saying they're not their understanding of a Rebbe is their teacher, and they've never seen a Gadol B'Yisrael.
Their idea of a Rebbe is someone to hang out with when they come to class to like bottle 40 minutes of class time. Not to like.
But I'm saying Bashar Shah, meaning that has a place. That has a time and a place.
The first impression of a Rebbe, though.
It depends. If that Rebbe is just someone that they're hanging out with, and they don't see him as being an elevated person. But a Rebbe could be a person who loves Torah and teaches Torah and also knows how to relate to the kids. That's not a bad thing.
It's hard.
And the hope is that Rebbe becomes a stepping stone to them, growing and attaching themselves to even bigger people. But I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. Yeah, Maishi.
What about middle case thing where somebody becomes a tzaddik, but then something comes out about it, and there's no real proof yet, but like.
Right, there's rumors about...
Yeah, how do you know,
that? It's a hard question,
right.
I don't know.
It's not in our hands to get involved.
Right.
Who we get involved.
Right.
What he says, how do you deal with it? Like, you listen to him,
I don't know, if it's a person who you feel is really a tzaddik, and there's no, listen, there are people who slander tzaddikim for the sake of slandering tzaddikim, so we don't have to always assume that that just because someone spoke out against a tzaddik and some rumor is going around that all of a sudden that means the tzaddik's not a tzaddik anymore. But again, I don't know. It's a hard question. I don't know. It's a very hard question. But I think we have to be down the kapsulos as much as we can, but without being fools. We don't have to be fools. Yeah.
And when you have different tzaddikim, different people doing different things, and like I'm choosing my own knowledge. So, but they see that they're doing like good things, For example, like I look at like the Haredim, they're dressing very nicely for davening, for learning. Like this is true for me. Like, what gives me the right if I'm not doing that? Like, it's good, but I'm not doing that.
You're following your neshama. How do you find your? How do you figure out how you're supposed to live? How do you figure it out? How do you figure out your tafkid? One of the ways is you listen to your neshama. As the Tziv writes at the end of Parsha Shlach, that a person, he quotes the pasuk, Shlomo Melech said, "V'halech b'darchei lipcha." lo sasur achrei levavchem. So how do I balance those two? Don't stray after my heart, and at the same time, trust my intuition. I think Gemara says in Shabbos, avucha b'mai zohir tfei. What was your father's favorite mitzvah? Favorite mitzvah? What does that mean, a favorite mitzvah? Why did Rav Scheinberg wear so many pairs of tzitzis? Why was that his thing? His thing. The same way when Hashem created the world, he had a ratzon. So a person has a ratzon also. You have a ratzon to dress a certain way. If you're doing it, not because it's the style of the world, because for whatever reason you feel you could be the best Eved Hashem dressed in that way, or you feel you're not going to gain anything in your Avodas Hashem by wearing black and white, okay, if you've thought about that in an honest way, and you feel that that's, you know, the best way to serve Hashem, then good. I didn't understand, before I started wearing a hat, I couldn't understand, like what's the big deal about wearing a hat? And as I went on in my rabbinic career, I felt it was proper to put on a hat. So about, I don't know, 6 years ago, let's say, I started wearing a hat. And now, like, when I dab on that hat, I feel strange. So you could say, you could do, like, experiment on me and try to understand, like, why I feel that way, right? Or from a Torah perspective, you could say, now I've grown, I've matured, I've changed. And again, I'm not saying being a better Jew means wearing a hat. I'm just saying, for me, that's something now that I feel is an authentic part of my Yiddishkeit. Originally, I took it on to be respectful of my position as a person who teaches Torah. That most of the rebbeim that I know wore hats, so I felt it was the right thing to do. For a long time, I didn't think it was necessary for me, so I didn't put it on. I wanted to put it on when I was going to put it on in a more authentic way. And I hope now that I've gotten used to it, it's not just like a social norm for me, but it's something that I have a deeper appreciation for. So yeah, it's these things are hard to figure out. How do you figure out
things that don't apply to yourself?
What did you say?
You have like good things out there, but that don't fit to you.
Yeah, and that's Eilu Ve'Eilu Devei Elokim Chai. You can't be every path. I can't be everything. Again, the walls are transparent. I can see what's going on, and I should try to take what fits in. But I can't try to be everything. It's not possible to be everything. And we'd be dishonest to say, you know, the Kotzker said, I could make the whole world into my Hasidim. But that's not what Hashem wants. Kotzker was charismatic enough, convincing enough to make everyone follow him. He said, that's not the Tachlis. The Tachlis is not everyone should be exactly like me. The Tachlis is each person should be true to himself and attach himself to the tzaddik that his neshama is pulled towards. And you have to trust that inner intuition a little bit. Okay? I flip over to the other side of the page. I brought along a volume today. Hashkafas HaRav, Reflections of the Rav, Volume 1. I gave you the first page of an essay, or I guess a shir, something the Rav shared in 1973. And it is super duper relevant to the world today. The Common Sense Rebellion Against Torah Authority. Okay, let's read a little together. Again, I just gave you the first paragraph, and he develops it through the eyes of Korach. Jews defer only to recognize Torah scholars in the interpretation of Jewish law. What's the Rav saying? We don't define halachic decisions based on popular opinion. It doesn't matter how many people, come out and say, well, I think, that's nice what you think. And who says you have a right to offer an opinion? I think women rabbis would be good. That's nice. That's great. So when you learn for as many hours and for as many years as Rav Schechter, then you can talk about your opinion also. We'd be very excited to hear it. So says the Rav, there's something called the Common Sense Rebellion Against Torah Authority, which means I don't see it. I don't see what these rabbis are saying. Right? Common sense dictates otherwise. My street knowledge tells me otherwise. So says Rav Soloveitchik, Jews defer only to recognize Torah scholars in the interpretation of Jewish law. Today, many individuals claim the right to exercise their own common sense in determining the relevance and format of contemporary Judaism, despite the fact that they are hardly biblical and Talmudic scholars. Pretty good, no? Pretty relevant? Synagogue ritual committees and popular magazine articles debate the continued usefulness of various religious practices and explore the possibilities of reformulating Judaism in line with their modern thought. These self-styled poskim concede their lack of formal training in Jewish texts and sources, but they insist nonetheless on their right to decide fundamental religious questions on the basis of common sense. This is not a recent phenomenon. It dates back to the earliest period of Jewish history, to the very generation which received the Torah at Mount Sinai. Not very long after that event, the Torah, Numbers chapter 16, relates, Korach led a rebellion against Moses, and Chazal implied that he sought to replace Moses as the teacher and leader of Israel. Yeah? Korach's rebellion. Now, Korach was a tzaddik yisod olam. Korach was a Talmud Chacham. An aged Talmud Chacham. Korach was not some young, power-hungry individual. Right? Korach was a big tzaddik. And yet, the Rav still looks at Korach, challenging Moshe's authority, as a small person challenging the tzaddik. Tzaddik Ador. Korach publicly challenged the halachic competency of Moses and ridiculed his interpretations of Jewish law as being contrary to elementary reason. Right? And you know all the mishalim, all the midrashim, that Korach asked simple questions to Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, why would a beggar that's entirely blue need a blue string? That's silly. Why would a room that's full of Sefer Torah need a mezuzah? That's strange, that's silly. And the Rav goes on, it's quite a few pages, again, I just gave you the first paragraph, where the Rav says, yes, is there some truth to the subject, to the my personal feelings when it comes to Yiddishkeit? Of course there is. That's the answer to your question. Right? Yes, of course there. I have to find my mahalich. There's some truth to that, but there's also an objective truth that trumps everything. There's the big people on top who set the tone. And again, I have to be careful how I bring my feelings to the table when it comes to questioning authority. The Chavetz Chaim writes on the left-hand side of the page, take a look, Chavetz Chaim al Torah Parshas Yisro. When the Jews were standing at Har Sinai, which was receiving Torah, a mountain, dirt receiving Torah was so holy, called an Ogeya Bahar Mos Yumas. If you touch the mountain, you're a dead man. Uma, says the Chavetz Chaim, if a mountain of dirt and rocks that doesn't feel anything was so sanctified, we call makom this kadosh de kabbalas Torah, that Klai Yisrael were told, don't you dare touch it, don't even touch the dirt of our Sinai. A person who dares to mess with talmidei chachamim, shalomer es Torah gufa, a talmid chacham who mamish is Torah. The Talmud Chacham, who's also a person, has feelings, by the way. People think, just because you write an article in a newspaper, you know, you're writing about an issue, when really you're writing about a person, and you're attacking someone, and the Talmud Chacham has feelings, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very sensitive to protecting those feelings of the Talmud Chacham. Alachas kama v'kama, sha'anogeya bo, kinogeya babas eino. A person who dares to touch the Talmud Chacham, it's like touching the pupil of your eye. Right? You're touching HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Talmidei Chachamim. I'm scared to even read the Pasuk again, but you hear what the Pasuk says. Kol Nogeya B'Talmud Chacham ... I was reading a few Shabbos ago. I was reading a Sefer called Tzchus Avos. I picked up the Sefer. Maybe I bought it from the guy over here also. A little black Sefer. It was put out some kids' bar mitzvah, someone in Borough Park. Put out the Sefer. It's a good Sefer. So, he has a crazy thing in there. From the Rebbe of Pishavorsk. The old Rebbe of Pishavorsk. He said that one time, Rav Nachum Chernobler summoned a few individuals to a Din Torah. Happens to have been Parshas Beshalach, so the guys thought they'd be funny. Yeah? Vahi Beshalach Paro Asa'am. What's the next few words of the Pasuk? V'lo Nachum Elohim. So they sent back to Rav Nachum Chernobler, V'lo Nachum Elohim. Elohim, we're learning Sanhedrin, means a judge. They said, Nachum's not going to judge us. So they wrote back to him. Rav Nachum Chernobler summoned them. A tzaddik summons you to appear before him. And they said, V'lo Nachum Elohim. We don't have to listen to Nachum. So he wrote back to them the next two words of the Pasuk, which is what? Derech Eretz. Now, had I not read the end of the story, I would have said Derech Eretz means you guys are being chutzpah. But when you touch a tzaddik, most you must. Derech Eretz means you're going to be in the ground soon. And those two people died. Those two individuals who refused to come to the Din Torah died shortly thereafter. A person who's pogim in the covenant of a tzaddik, you're putting your hand in fire. Mishnah Mefurish, Mishnah Pirkei Avos. It's mamish fire. To touch a tzaddik is to touch fire. Rabbi Akiva Eger, one time summoned a person to him who was refusing to give his wife a get. Yeah? I read this when I was in YU. There's a book I took out. I remember I was in YU. I read an English biography of Akiva Eger called The Gaon of Posen. That's where I saw this story. In The Gaon of Posen, Akiva Eger was from the town of Posen, the place called Posen. Akiva Eger summoned someone and said, "You need to give your wife a get." So the guy said, "No, I don't." So Akiva Eger said, "Yeah, you really do. I'm telling you, you do." So he said, "No, why should I listen to you?" So Akiva Eger recited the Chazal, the Mishnah. We know that what? Haisha nicknames in several ways, in three ways. The Kones Atzma, and a woman frees herself with what? With get of a Misa Sabal. A woman goes free from her husband with a document of divorce or with the death of her husband. And he kept saying the Mishnah over and over. He kept saying it over and over to this guy. I just want to make sure you understand. A woman goes free with either a get or with Misa Sabal. Yeah? And he said, "I don't have to listen to you." He refused to give the get, and she went free with Misa Sabal. The husband didn't last very long. Okay, according to one version of the story, he walked out of the basement, tripped down the steps, and died on the spot. A person has to understand who you're messing with, who you're dealing with, when a person speaks against Talmidei Chachamim. One of the kinyanim of the 48 kinyanim of Torah is Hamachim es Rabo. What does Hamachim es Rabo mean? What would you say Pashup Shad is? Open up the sixth parak of Berkei Avos, Hamachim es Rabo, one who makes his Rebbe wise. He asks sharp questions, right? That's all very good. The Medrash Shmuel says Hamachim es Rabo means one who constantly reminds himself how smart his Rebbe is. Hamachim es Rabo. My Rebbe is such a chacham. Even though I have questions on my Rebbe. Not a machim es Rabo. I make my Rebbe a better Rebbe by asking good questions that makes my Rebbe learn the sugya better. But a machim es Rabo, I assume that my Rebbe is much smarter than me. That's a kinyan in Torah. That's a munas chacham. Munas chacham is a separate kinyan in Torah. But it's the same idea. Hamachim es Rabo. Give my Rebbe the benefit of the doubt. To assume that he's wise. Kavod Torah is not a small thing. When Rav Huttner was on that plane that was hijacked in 1970, you know the Maisa? In September 6th, 1970, it was a plane. Rav Huttner was flying back to New York, and the plane was hijacked. Rav Huttner and his wife and his daughter and his son-in-law, they were all on this hijacked plane. Rav Huttner, the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin. Yeah, I heard this story from Rav Ari Waxman from Shalavim. I never read it anywhere. But apparently the Maisa goes that when they were on the plane, at one point, it was when they had landed the plane, right? When there was still a hostage situation, it was very, very hot on the plane. So Rav Huttner asked for a drink. Kavod Torah. Right? He asked the terrorists who were holding him hostage, he said, "I'd like a drink." Okay? They saw he was a distinguished person. For whatever reason, they decided to give him a drink. They brought him a drink. Rav Huttner said to the terrorist, "There's no ice. This is not Kavod Torah. Where's the ice? It's hot. I'm hot. Go put some, bring me a Coke and put ice in it." Can you imagine? Rav Huttner understood that even when you're dealing with a terrorist, there's Kavod Torah. I'm Rav Huttner. I don't care if you're holding me hostage. Kavod Torah demands that you put ice in my drink. Yeah? No, so these are the Madrigas of the Tzaddikim. And if that's what Rabbi Akiva Eger felt about himself, I once read Rabbi Akiva Eger one time, someone came and was telling him a story about the Vilna Gaon. He said, "Wait, I can't hear the story yet." Rabbi Akiva Eger went, he put on his tefillin to listen to a story about the Vilna Gaon. That's how much respect he had going up the chain from one Madriga to the next. I'll tell you a story. I'm nervous to tell it on tape, but I'll tell it anyways. I'll tell you a story about Rav Schechter. Want to hear a story about Rav Schechter? I'll tell you about Tzaddikim in our midst. A little while ago, I don't know, 2 years ago maybe at this point, I don't remember how long ago it was. Yeah, Rav Schechter said something in a shir, and it was, as people like to do sometimes, they take very holy, great people, and they pick on them. And he said something, and he didn't mean it the way that it was understood. It was not meant to be an offensive comment, and of course someone picked up on it and started spreading it around, and everyone blah blah blah. Yeah, Rav Schechter, who was like the head of organizations to free Agunas, and Rav Schechter, who cries every time he talks about Israeli soldiers, that very, you know, insensitive individual that he is. Yeah, so he said something that was a little bit, could easily, you know, be misinterpreted, and people picked up on it. So there's a rabbi who holds himself to be a very, you know, fine person, who spoke out against Rav Schechter because of this. Not someone in YU, not here. Before it was Pesach time, and the whole family was very upset. Rav Schechter, I heard this from one of his children, he was very upset. The family was very upset. People were saying not nice things about Rav Schechter. It was totally, you know, whatever, inappropriate, but the way people were speaking. And it was a total misinterpretation of what he had said to begin with. And Rav Shechter was the family was together Pesach time. Rav Shechter was learning the Perek in Menachos that talks about the Karban HaOmer, Sfiras HaOmer. And everyone was saying, you know, it's not right. Da da da. The family was very upset for the kavod of Shechter. Shechter, in his humility, Kedarka B'Kodesh, was kind of letting things slide. And all of a sudden, he looks up and he says to the children, he says, "Listen to this story I just came across in the Gemara." The Gemara tells a story that Rabbi Tarfon was once giving a shiur, and someone had a question on the shiur, and they asked a good question. It was a good question. Talk a good question. But the questioner, the way the questioner felt, you know, so proud of himself, that he had outsmarted Rabbi Tarfon, right? He was going around a little bit haughty because of that. And the Gemara says it was shortly after, before Shavuos, that this person, the one who asked the question, Rabbi Tarfon, the holy Tana, Rabbi Tarfon, died. So Shechter just happened to get up to this story. And he says, you know, the Gemara says something, you know, this person, he challenged Rabbi Tarfon's authority, and something happened to him before Shavuos. Rabbi Shechter said, okay, you know, it's a few weeks till Shavuos, let's see what happens. However, 2 weeks later, this person who spoke out against Rav Shechter was involved in a major scandal. And his reputation was destroyed. It was a big chashav erav. And he was done. That was it. That's what happens. You speak against real tzaddikim. Person who doesn't understand. Person who looks to be mazalza. You're touching the tzaddik, you're touching a Kaddish Baruch. That's what Rabbi Nachman is saying here. A person who blasphemes the tzaddik is blaspheming a Kaddish Baruch. The word of the tzaddik is the word of a Kaddish Baruch. Look at the Chassam Sofer on the right-hand side of the page. The Yadaber Moshe al Roshe Hamatos Livnei Yisrael Lemor Zeh Davar Asher Tziva Hashem. Says the Chassam Sofer Yesh Lomar Ki Moshe Diver Livnei Yisrael. Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael about the Roshe Hamatos, about the leaders of Klal Yisrael. She Argilu Bnei Yisrael Atzmam Lemor Al Dibras Roshe Hamatos Zeh Davar Asher Tziva Hashem. Moshe taught Bnei Yisrael, when the leaders say something to you, train yourself to say Zeh Davar Asher Tziva Hashem. That the mouth of the tzaddik is mamish, the mouth of who? The mouth of a Kodesh Baruch. Ratzalomer ki kol ayotim ipi ashofet ya beinei am Hashem ki ilu Hashem tivo lasoskein. As if Hashem spoke to you and commanded you directly. If the tzaddik tells you, you do it as if Hashem commanded you, as if a Kodesh Baruch said it to you directly. Vayedaber Moshe about the Roshe Amatos to Bnei Yisrael zeh davar asher tziv Hashem. That's how respectful we have to be. But let's go one step further and we'll end with this. Rabbi Nachman said one more point. What was Rabbi Nachman's second point? It's not only people who speak against tzaddikim who come to speak against what? Who come to speak against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but a person who speaks against the world. What does it mean to speak against the world? We spoke about it a couple Sundays ago. What does it mean a person who speaks against the world? A person who says that Hashem's world is bad for me. Hashem's world pulls me away from Hashem. But that's a steer me nehu be, because Hashem's world is Hashem's world. And Hashem's world can't be made into something bad, because everything Hashem touches is good. Ah, it sometimes looks bad, it looks challenging. But very often, when we start to hate the world, when we try to make ourselves from by hating the world, right? It's in some deep, deep way, it's a subtle rebellion against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's that common sense rebellion against authority that the Rav is describing here. So I want to just end by reading you a passage from a non-Jewish thinker. Okay? And I'll change a few words along the way to turn it, but it's mamish, it's a Torah idea. Okay? It's the name of the chapter in this book is called Everything That is Holy. Everything that is holy. Just listen, we'll end with this. Detachment from things does not mean setting up a contradiction between things and God, as if God were another thing, and as if his creatures were his rivals. We do not detach ourselves from things in order to attach ourselves to Hashem. Okay, from this point forward, I'm changing God to Hashem. We do not detach ourselves from things in order to attach ourselves to Hashem, but rather we become detached from ourselves in order to see and use all things in and for Hashem. This is an entirely new perspective which many sincerely moral and ascetic minds fail utterly to see. Right? Meaning a person who wants to be a firm person by running away from the world, that the world is out to get me. The higher level, he's saying here, is when a person realizes that what? That if Hashem created it, I can use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no evil in anything created by Hashem, nor can anything of his become an obstacle to our union with Him. The obstacle is in ourself. Right? We become the obstacle. We're the one who gets in the way. What does the Pasuk say? Anochi Omed between Hashem, between you and Hashem, right? The sense of anochias stands between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The obstacle is in our self, quote, self. That is to say, in the tenacious need to maintain our separate external egotistic will. You hear what he's saying? If you're mevatel yourself to a tzaddik, and you're mevatel yourself to the world, then you're mevatel yourself to Hashem. But if you think you've got issues with the world, you've got issues with tzaddikim, and you've got issues with Torah, then what you're really saying is I have issues with you, Hashem. And that's because you want to be your own thing. I want to feel like I have my own opinion, my own rights. It is when we refer to all things, it is when we refer all things to this outer and false self that we alienate ourselves from reality and from Hashem. It is then the false self that is our God, lowercase g, and we love everything for the sake of the self. We use all things, so to speak, for the worship of this idol, which is our imaginary self. In so doing, we pervert and corrupt things, or rather, we turn our relationship to them into a corrupt and sinful relationship. What does that mean? It means we see the world as something that just gets us into trouble with Hashem. It's not here to help us get close to Hashem. Listen to this. Listen to what he writes here. Ready for this? Those who try to escape from this situation by treating the good things of Hashem as if they were evils are only confirming themselves in a terrible illusion. They are like Adam blaming Chava and Chava blaming the Nachash. Woman has tempted me. Wine has tempted me. Food has tempted me. You hear why this is a big excuse for just being a bad Jew? Just blame everything else? Hashem, it's your world that's messing me up. I want to be good. And it's your world that's getting in the way. Woman is pernicious. Wine is poison. Food is death. I must hate and revile them. By hating them, I will please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to what he says here. Last line. These are the thoughts and attitudes of a baby. Yeah? Katnis de Mochen. You think Hashem made everything in the world to ruin you? You think Hashem wants us to fail? That's why Hashem set up this game for most people to fail? Or maybe we're choosing to fail, and we're hiding behind things. These are the thoughts and attitudes of a baby, of a savage, and of an idolater, who seeks by magic incantations and spells to protect his egotistic self and placate the insatiable little god in his own heart. To take such an idol for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the worst kind of self-deception. And that's why the title of this, again, of this chapter, this book, Everything That is Holy. Because when a person hates the world, and a person hates tzaddikim, and a person hates other Jews, and a person can't be sovel anyone else's mahalach and avodas Hashem, what they're really saying is, deep down inside, what they're saying is, I don't hold the view of Kadosh Baruch Hu. If the Chazon Ish wrote in that letter, if I have a lack of emunah chacham, that means I have a lack of emunah in the chachma, which means I have a lack of emunah in the one who dictated that chachma, in the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. So Emir Tz Hashem. We should try, like Rabbi Nachman said. We should be people who attach ourselves to true tzaddikim. We should be people who understand that sometimes it looks like we're just criticizing something of this world. But realize what David HaMelech was getting at. Shatu Hashemayim Piyam. Yes, it's true. L'sholam Tahalich Baret. I think I'm just speaking against this world. But in reality, you're speaking against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's be careful to attach ourselves to tzaddikim amitim and to believe b'amunah shleim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we'll be able to uproot this apikorsis from our midst. Shkoyach.